This morning we're going to be looking into the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And this particular message dwells around the parable of the sower and the salt. Jesus, in the first two verses, is gathered at the sea, where he did much of his teaching in parables. And verse 1 said he did many parables, teaching them heavenly things on an earthly level so that they would understand their culture, their life, and how they were to follow Jesus and be a part of the God's kingdom. Now, verses 1 and 2 said there was a great multitude and they were all gathered there because Jesus had that charisma. He grew crowds because he had compassion. He met needs. He not only met their spiritual but their physical needs as well. And many of them came to Jesus because they had a need. Many of them came for physical reasons, but Jesus looked at that and he dealt with that and many times provided healing. But he also provided the spiritual need of salvation that they might understand that. And in this particular parable of the souls, there's four types here that we'll be looking at this morning. And that's why I entitled it, Where Do You Stand? And one of us, all of us, are in one of these areas of souls. And the last one is the good soul. And that's what God intends for each one of us to have. And the seed is the word of God. The soul is our hearts. And how that seed permeates and gets into our heart and it takes root and we start producing great fruit for the kingdom. So if you'll follow along with me, I'll begin with verse 3. Where it says, Jesus often said, he says in his Gospels and also in Revelation, that we are to listen, we are to hear. When Jesus spoke, he wanted the multitudes of people to hear what he had to say because it was important. It was important for them to hear because it motivated them and encouraged them to live a life that would be pleasing and be productive for them in their lives. So he begins in verse 3 by saying, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And he, as he was sowing, some seed fell by the road. And the birds came and ate it up. In verse 5, other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up, and it choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, 100 fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. I mean, it grew interest. They were curious. You know, they wanted some explanation of these. And Jesus is going to give that in a few minutes. And in verse 11, it says, and he was saying to them, to you, it has been given a mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables. Verse 12 is, so while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Okay, now as we move to verse 13, Jesus gives the explanation of these four souls. Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." And in verse 15, "These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them." In similar ways, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they heard the word, or hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporarily. Then, when the affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And verse 20, "And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So this is the parable of the sower. And as we look at this, we want to see the different souls that Jesus is talking about here, and the different souls and the different types of spiritual grounds. And again, the heart is where it takes place, the soul, and on which people may stand in their relationship with God. So something challenging we will learn here today, and I hope so, and you will take to heart, because Jesus took it very seriously as he was talking to the congregations or in the multitude of people there, because he wanted them to hear. That's why he said, "Please listen." And I won't go back over verses 3 through the first 13, but I want us to begin with verse 14 and 15, where it talks about the soil along the wayside. It kind of reminds me of growing up on the farm. I know my grandfather, my uncles, my cousins, we all farmed together and so forth. And they really worked hard to make sure the soils had all the nutrients and everything. And they always sowed the seed and everything on hopefully good soil, good ground and everything. And then when you see how it starts coming up and everything, you know it's going to be a good harvest and so forth. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And in verse 14, Jesus said, that what is being sown is the word of God. That's what he was wanting the people to hear. The seed is the word of God. And in this context of this message, the sower is like Jesus or his disciple who is sowing the word or the seed. But today the sowers, plural, are like evangelists or Christians who are church members, pastors, and missionaries who are sowing the word today. So we are all ministers. We can sow the seed, the word of God, and hopefully one of these souls, and prayerfully, will fall on good ground. In First Corinthians chapter 3, 6 and 9, the Apostle Paul, he stated, and he wanted the congregation to understand that as they were sowing the seed and planting the word of God in the hearts of all of those that were listening, and this is what Paul was saying, I planted this seed, the word of God. Apollos, he watered it. He come along behind me, and he continued to do the process of watering and nurturing the Word of God to you people. But God gave the increase. So everything that we do, we sow the seed, we preach the Word, we teach the Word, and so forth. And in the power that He invested in our life with our gifts and our talents, and how He has given us the ability to share the Word of God. But you know what? He gives the increase. And that's what Paul wanted the people to understand. For God gives the increase, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Now, and here in verses 14 and 15, the Word of God was preached to the lost. But something terrible happened. And that's what Jesus is referring to, the four souls here. But back in verse 4 that I read a few minutes ago, we hear that the seed was eaten up by birds as it landed by the wayside. And the Word of God was snatched from their heart. So it's been said, sin is like a woodpecker. Each particular attack makes noise, but it doesn't seem to do much damage. You know, we have woodpeckers all over our place. I mean, you can hear them just peck, peck, peck. And you think they eventually get a headache from all that pecking, you know? But that's the way that God designed them. They don't. That's part of their life. But like a woodpecker, if you let it chip away at your life long enough, it will leave many ugly holes that never fill in. And that's why Jesus said, or the devil, like a persistent blackbird, will steal the word planted within the hearts, for he said to be the thief that comes. He's the one that steals. He's the one that kills, destroys, and that's in John chapter 10, verse 10. The gospel message of salvation was preached to the lost, and tragically, the lost stayed lost. And that's why Jesus is saying some seed falls by the wayside. They hear it, but they don't receive it, and they remain lost. Now, verse 16 and verse 17, it tells us that the seed on stony ground. Now, you and I, we know better than throw seed on the stone, right? And just by the wayside. But when Jesus is talking about the hearts, this is what happens within our world today. As the seed, or the Word of God is preached, many people just don't take it to heart. And that's why Jesus said it just falls by the wayside and on stone ground. The hearts are stony and it doesn't take root. So here, the stony ground person hears the Word of God, which shares the hope of God's love, His forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. So the stony ground persons receive the gospel, are the good news, and they receive it with gladness. It's something good that they want to hear, and they receive it by gladness. However, these individuals want the benefit of salvation without the commitment, dedication expected as Christians. You know, it's kind of like going up to the insurance company and say, I want fire insurance. But when they receive the bill, they don't want to pay the dues, right? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. We must not forget what 2 Corinthians 5:15 says. It said, He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them, and He rose again. But there are some people who think they can gain salvation and still live only for themselves. And that it means to the seed on stony ground. So it needs to be, I want to make it clear today on this, that salvation cannot be earned. In Ephesians chapter 2, 18, Works do not lead to faith, and works do not lead to salvation. However, faith does lead to works. And that's why James chapter 2, verse 17, as you see on the screen, says, even so faith, if it has no works, it is dead, being by itself. So when we look at what Jesus is saying here so far on these two soils, sown by the wayside, sown on stony ground, the professing Christian who is not mindful of the things of Christ and his kingdom, and who is uninterested in the service of the kingdom, might not be a true believer. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's why he explained it so good. He explained it. That's what he explained with these two people that the soul is sown. According to James, in the verse I just read, their faith might be dead. On the flip side of that, there can be those who put on a good show of works and service and yet still do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So stony ground persons can be really identified as a falling away in their faith on the account of difficulty, circumstances, or perhaps even hardship or ridicule. That's what Jesus was explaining here about these two. Now as we, well, first of all, I want to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 and 21, which says, for not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons, and in your name proclaim many miracles. In verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or sinfulness. So here we see in these two, sown by the wayside and the stone, sown by the stony ground, Jesus explains that the seed did not take root. The person receiving the Word of God, the precious Word of God, did not receive it wholeheartedly. Now let's move on to seed sown on thorns. In verses 18, 19, the seed that's sown this way struggled to survive because it was strangled, and because the thick growth of the weeds blocked the sunshine or sunlight, which is so essential to life of a young plant. If you ever notice you plant something on the north side where the sun can't get it, it doesn't grow very well. But even those plants that the sown where the sun can reach it, how the plants themselves reach towards the sun, I think that's so interesting to see plants that are thriving and real and alive will reach towards the sunlight. That's what Jesus is talking about in good soil. We are reaching. We hear the word and we're reaching and we're searching. And we want all we can get from the sun, S-O-N, the sun, because he gives us all the nourishment that we need. See, Jesus said that this seed represents people who have heard the word and because believers, but after enduring worldly temptations or perhaps deliberately seeking the things of the world, then they become unfruitful. Reminds me of a story of a farmer, and the price of feed and everything kept going up and up. So he decided, well, what can I do to cut corners? So he started mixing sawdust with his feed to give to his cows and so forth, his animals. And everything was going pretty good there for a while. And after he thought, well, this is going to work, well, they all died. Because the sawdust did not work. It did not provide what they needed for a healthy diet. See, when Christians start feeding on worldly pleasures rather than the Word of God, this is what happens. When they become distracted from relationship with Christ by a busy life, they often don't even realize how spiritual starving until the damage has been done. So when Christians start feeding on worldly pleasures rather than the Word of God, they're distracted. And now, according to verse 19, when believers become spiritually unhealthy, they cease to bear fruit. Now, if we fail to abide in Jesus Christ, then we become unfruitful. According to John chapter 15, Jesus talks about that Christ is the vine. We are the branches. And if we are attached to the vine and the Holy Spirit flows through the vine into the branches, we bear fruit. We bear much fruit and more fruit, more that we're attached to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. He plants the seed in our heart and we begin to grow. And then lastly, as we look at this good soil, verse 20, this verse gets straight to the point, and this is where I want us to look. Of all of the other three that I've talked about, this is the one Jesus says, this is the one that you need, the good soil. Aren't you glad that when you heard the Word of God, at whatever age you are, and you accepted the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of truth, the Word of God. And the seed sown on good ground. This is what this verse, I want to get straight to the point on this one. An individual who hears the Word of God and truly and sincerely from the heart receives it is like seed sown on good ground. And he or she will bear fruit. And bearing fruit is called spiritual reproduction. And it's helping others enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, as we grow and as we testify and as we witness to other people, you see, other people begins to think, I need that. I want that kind of soul. I want that kind of heart. And see, as Christians, we are reproducing and making new Christians because the seed is sown on good ground. In John chapter 15, verse 4, here again, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it bears in the vine, abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If the Holy Spirit is not flowing through our lives, we become like dead branches. And that's why it's so important for Christians, you and myself, to be in the Word each day, to thrive, to do all we can to grow spiritually, to be connected with the church, be connected with one another, be connected with other brothers and sisters in Christ, because that helps us to grow. That encourages one another. In sports, you know, for an example, I've always wanted to play with somebody better than me. Why? Because that encourages me to try harder. Yeah. If I play a sport with somebody that's less than my ability, then I don't thrive. You know, and you eventually, you know, you don't succeed. You don't grow or get better in that sport. So I'm encouraging you this morning and along myself that we connect ourselves with godly people who love the Lord, and we can see them bearing fruit and growing, and we can say, hey, I want what you have. I want you to mentor me and teach me how I can be a better Christian, how I can abide in Jesus Christ and be and grow in my relationship with him. And in conclusion this morning, I entitled it, Where Are You Standing? Where are you standing this morning in your relationship with Jesus Christ? And it all revolves around our relationship with Jesus Christ. See, again, going back to the wayside, kind of a recap, a review here. People likely, many of religious leaders refuse to believe God's message. And then the rocky soil people, like many in the crowds who follow Jesus, believe his message but never get around to doing anything about it. That's the rocky soil. And then thorn patch people, overcome by worries and the lures of materialism, and leave no room in their lives for God because they get distracted. They're not connected to the Lord in a way that will help them to grow spiritually. And then the good soil, the good part, where we all need to be. People, in contrast to all other groups, follow Jesus no matter what the cost is. They listen, just as Jesus said, listen and obey and follow through on what he says. Which type of soul are you this morning? And I ask myself, you know, we always want to be the type of good soul that abides in Christ. So this morning, what do you need to do to become the good soul? And how we find out about that is we go to the Lord and we ask him, Lord, what do I need to do to help myself to be more spiritual in my life? How can I be more dependent upon you? What do I need to do to keep my focus upon you? Oh, to be, you know, not be attracted to the worldly things or the business of the world, businesses of the things in my life, but to really concentrate on what can I do to be more like Jesus, to be acceptable and proven in my relationship with you that I truly, truly love you as my Lord and Savior. That's the good soul. And that's Christ, that's showing Christ that you really mean business in your relationship with him. That's very important for us as Christians. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you. We praise your holy name. Lord, you gave us these parables for a reason. It teaches us earthly things from a heaven view. And Lord, as a people who gathered around you, they came to hear. They wanted to know. But on the other side, you wanted them to really hear the good news about Jesus Christ. And our relationship with you today is very important as we strive to lead others to you as a church, as a community, as a people, as God's people, as your people. It's very important for us to have a time along with you each day in our devotion time, our prayer time, that as we abide in you, you abide in us, and then we can see our spiritual life begin to bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit. Lord, I pray for each and everyone that's here today and those listening that as you tell us in your scriptures to listen and obey, For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. That's the song we often sing. And that's the message that we need to hear and we need to apply to our lives. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. Wherever he leads, I'll go.